Our first scripture reading is from the book of James, third chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great is a forest set ablaze by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works, the meekness of wisdom. Our second reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 27th chapter, beginning at verse 39. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text for today is the gospel reading. Whereas Jesus was hanging on the cross, beneath him the insults were rising from the crowd. You know, if you want to change someone's behavior, you might point out to them what they are doing is wrong. But if you really want to hurt them, attack their character. You know, intuitively, I think we know how powerful words addressed to someone's character can be. But it's somewhat amazing how, if you will, modern science has proven the fact. And interestingly, it's not just insults that are powerful. But even when we're addressing someone's character positively, it very powerful as well. I shared some of these facts in Bible study last Sunday morning, but they bear repeating. So for instance, if you want a 2-year-old child to repeat a good behavior, you could just say, "Thank you for helping me out." But studies on 2-year-olds tell you that that isn't the best way. You could give them the reward. You could give them a quarter or maybe even a dollar. Or let them have a little more time up late at night. But if you really want to have a 2-year-old child repeat a good behavior, don't just thank them for being helpful. Thank them for being a helper. You'd be surprised. But in studies, that has a more powerful effect and is more likely to encourage a child to repeat a behavior than any kind of reward you can offer. And it's not just true of 2-year-olds. A study done on 7- and 8-year-olds repeated basically the same results. Only this time what they did is they wanted to teach the children charity. And so they asked them to make a donation to a cause. And they divided the group into two parties. One were told, "Thank you for the gift." The other were told, and it seems like such a simple change, "Thank you for being a giver." And then they repeated the request for the donation about 2 weeks later. The group that was thanked for their gift didn't give any more. The group that was thanked for being a good giver gave quite a bit more. What works with little children works with adults as well. On the positive side, you would think that saying "get out and vote" versus "be a voter," what's the difference? And yet, interestingly, in one rather large study that was done during an election cycle, telling people to be a voter produced about 16% more votes than telling people to vote. You know, in our close elections, that's pretty significant. But it works on the other side of the coin as well. And that's where I think we intuitively understand the power of addressing character a little more. So in one study aimed at reducing cheating, one group was told, "Don't cheat." The other group was told, "Don't be a cheater." Would you believe that cheating was cut in half in the one group and not at all in the other? When we address the character of people, that has more power than we realize, and power to change. That's what Satan was attempting back in the Garden of Eden. He challenged Eve by attacking the character of God. "No, you are not going to die." But he didn't just leave it at that. He went after the character of God. Essentially, he is calling God a liar. And the reason for God being a liar was that he was preventing Adam and Eve from becoming gods themselves. For he surely knows that if the day you eat of it, you will be like God. But God is who he is. no matter what insults you might throw his way, he cannot change, as people so often do. And the greatest part of God's character, as he himself would measure it, is his compassion and his mercy. He's glorious, but he can set that aside for a moment, as he did when Jesus humbled himself, took on human flesh, and went to the cross. He is just, but he can delay his justice so that he might redeem mankind. But his mercy he can't set aside. No matter what the world accuses him of. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. You know, if it were you and I hanging there, I don't think we'd be hanging there anymore. With all the suffering Christ had already endured. And his character, his identity being challenged the way it was. Even if he didn't come down from the cross himself, who would have challenged him, sending down a few lightning bolts? But above all else, God is merciful. And while insult upon insult is being heaped upon him, while his identity as God himself was being openly challenged, he hung there, remained there, until to the world, even to his own disciples, it appeared that the world had won. But of course, we know the end of the story. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead, proving that in death he was victorious. Being who he was, accomplishing the purpose for which he came to earth, to save you and I. No challenge to his character could move God from the course that he had put Jesus upon. You and I have been made in God's image. God has told us who we are. But too often we forget who we are. Or maybe we don't really think we're forgetting who we are, but we got to prove something to someone. When the world comes around and the insults begin, because we believe this or that about gender, or because we believe in the resurrection of the dead, because we believe in marriage between one man and one woman, whatever it is that we believe, and especially among young people, when the insults begin to rain down, go ahead, try this. Go ahead and do this. What, are you afraid? We think that we have something to prove. And then we do something that goes completely against our identity as God has explained it to us in Scripture. The world wins. we lose. We lose our identity. And we forget God has made us to be, what he has redeemed us to be. For the world that does not know its true identity, as defined by the God who created us, God who redeemed us, insults are a powerful thing. They can be used to shape and build the will, bend the will of us frail, sinful human beings. And they even think that by insults, they can make God change who he is. But as we learn from the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus, God knows who he is. He will always be faithful to that identity. The loving and merciful and forgiving and redeeming God who saves his people. But let us not simply thank God for remaining faithful to who he is. When the insults arise in our own life, when our identity as defined by God is being challenged by the world, when we're told we're stupid or arrogant or hateful or weird for being exactly what God has defined us to be and made us to be. Let us be like Christ. Remember who we are. Be who we are. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.